All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. March 8th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We literally are having a beautiful day. It is sunny. I wouldn't say it's warm, warm, but it's definitely, you know, I walk next door without a jacket. Not bad. We're definitely on the upswing, headed towards spring, which will be very nice. Definitely looking forward to that. I have seasonal depression, and I need a dose of sunshine is what I need, and some beach and some ocean and some outdoors. I've been cooped up in the house too long, and it's been taking a toll on me, and it's weird. I have, you know, I've shared about this. I'm having to make some changes in my life to try to minimize the anxiety and stress that I am personally delivering to myself, right? This is all my fault. I'm reading things, I'm watching things, I'm focusing on things, and I'm not spending enough time doing other stuff like, you know, being outside or, you know, I want to, you know, I think I shared, I want to upgrade a lawnmower. I want to take it apart. I want to fix it up. I'm going to put a Dale Earnhardt sticker on that thing, and I'm going to, you know, I want to do something. I got to create a little hobby, right? I want to redo this old lawnmower. Will I do it? I don't know. But these are things that I hope to start doing. And unfortunately, with the winter that we've had, and honestly, it's been fine, right? It's just that there's not a lot to do. And so I'm ready to start getting back outside and start feeling better. But, you know, I've had to make some changes and I've had to talk about it. You know, I think I shared the other day that, you know, I had to reach out to my sponsor and use him, right? Like I would suggest anybody that's in recovery that has a sponsor do, we should use our sponsors, right? And I did talk to him and it made me feel better, right? Cut it in half, right? And keep cutting it in half. And then, you know, at some point it gets so small, I have to make some decision, right? I have to make a change. I just can't talk it away, right? I can expose it. I can get some sunshine on it, but there's still something else, an underlying problem that I have eventually have to address. And, you know, and I said, like, if, you know, just trying to make changes. But, you know, I went to a meeting. I went to a meeting on Wednesday, so a couple days ago. And great meeting. My buddy Don, who shared, he's probably, I don't know, maybe got 40 years. 30-something years, right? Ton of time. He's one of the people when I came into the program that was here. He's one of those old guys that used to sit around the back, right, in their little groups. There was a cop from Philly, right? There was a radio announcer guy. I forget his name. These guys have all passed. You know, a whole cast of characters that sort of sat around and sort of set the tempo or the temperature, right, of a meeting, the old timers, and he was one of them, and he's still, you know, he's still alive, he's still doing well, getting old, obviously, but it was great to see him sit up front and share his message, and you know, I was able to share at one point, but you know, there was a, you know, I told this to my sponsor the other day because, you know, I take this program very, very seriously, right? I do this podcast. I mean, I try to have a little fun with it, but when it comes right down to the nuts and bolts of it, I take this program very, very serious. This program saved my life. This program did for me what no other program, no other person could do. And I will be indebted and grateful to it forever. But like I said, you know, a guy shared, I don't know what his name was. I don't even know if I'd ever seen him before. But, you know, he was, you know, I think he had 4 months or something. And he's like, you know, I'm trying to do my job and I got to come to these meetings. And, you know, it just really pissed me off, really. It didn't need to piss me off, but it pissed me off, right? I have been in an emotional state lately. I've been on the verge, right? And it annoyed me. Right, it really annoyed me, and I shared. I go, you know, this fucking program does not work, right? This program doesn't do anything, right? I have to show up, right? I have to do the work, you know. I, you know, when I came in this program, and worked it somewhat. I got somewhat better, right? And then I lost everything. When I came back, the program wasn't any different, right? The words weren't bigger, right? There wasn't more people to help me. Same words, same book, same thing. I had to change, right? And I came in here as a victim of alcoholism. I've shared that before. I came in here, you know, I have to do this, right? I have to get sober. And, you know, I'm trying to also carry a job, right? And one thing about those kind of situations is, and it was the same for me, I had to live it and live through it and realize, right, there isn't a word, there isn't a secret, right? There isn't a shortcut to this. It sucks. Right. It sucks and we have to do it. It's just, I mean, but we get to, right? We don't have to, but we get to. But, you know, I know for me, I was running out of options. I didn't have to do it, but all the arrows were pointing for me to. And, you know, and I came in here and I started doing it. And I had my ups and then I had my downs, right? And today I'm just very, very grateful for this program. And, you know, it just gets me pissed off when people like that have, this program actually owes them something. Together we sink or swim. Together we will sink or swim. Vandaliers. That is a new track by the Vandaliers. Very good. Actually, really dig that band. But, you know, when I heard that song the other day, it reminded me. It sort of took me on a little journey, man. And when I came into this journey, right, this experience, this program, this solution, right, I didn't do it by myself. I remember when I came in, I talked about this. I was in that aftercare program. That's where I met Rick and Tim. And we became a band of brothers, right? All headed towards the same thing, which was just another day without drinking. And I didn't know those guys prior to that program. I don't know their stories. I'm sure their stories were a lot like mine, right? We drank a lot. And we couldn't stop. And it was starting to cause a lot of problems. And but when we got sober, we teamed up, right? And we started a men's group. And we would do men's breakfasts at different people's houses. And we would go out after meetings and have coffee, right? And because, you know, and I've shared this, when I came in, I didn't have a damn thing. I didn't have any friends. I had some acquaintances. I had some coworkers. But I didn't have any friends. The people that I thought were my friends were not my friends. The people that I hung out with, I only hung out with because we were a lot alike. You know, we drank a lot alike. We weren't surprised when we had big problems, right? There's nothing worse than hanging out with somebody that doesn't drink like me and then having a big problem and them going like, I can't believe we're experiencing this giant problem. I'm like, this ain't nothing. Right? These problems happen for me all the time. Right? In my life, prior to getting sober, was a constant problem. I think that was one of the first things that I had to try to get used to was when the next shoe was going to drop and just constantly having this anxiety of when I was going to get in trouble next. And that's how my life was prior to getting sober. It was always, I was either recovering from getting in trouble, headed towards getting in trouble, just getting in trouble, living on probation, right? So it was always some shit. And it's tough, you know, it's tough when you're, you know, you grow up like that. You know, it's just constantly fear and worry and disappointment. And, you know, early on, I didn't want to get sober. I actually was willing to pay the price, right? I loved doing what I was doing, especially when I was out in California. Getting sober was not on my radar. You know, and that's one of the cool things about a program like the one that I like to go to is that it's always here, right? I remember as when I got arrested and was in jail, they offered meetings, right? People would drive 2.5 hours to go up to Big Bear Mountain to this freaking probation camp I was in and bring meetings in. And I remember my first real introduction to, you know, I'd been to a few meetings obviously prior to that, but my first real introduction to this program was in jail. And, but it was not because I wanted to get sober, right? It was because I wanted these chronos, these blue pieces of paper, and then we'd have to get them signed. And the whole idea was to take them in front of a judge, right? I think most people that end up in jail or something like that, they want to go back and see the judge and see if they can get their sentence reduced, right, or get out early. And then you try to figure out ways to prove your case, right? And going to a meeting, and it, you know, it also gave us something to do. But, you know, we go to these meetings and we get the chrono signed. And then eventually I would go see the judge and bring all my sack of evidence of what an amazing person I am now. And he goes, listen, you ain't got that much time left. You'd be all right. And I was devastated, right? But that was my first real introduction to going to meetings. And, you know, do I think those meetings pushed me in the direction of where I am at today? Not really. Because I can, honestly, I can't even remember. I remember going, walking to the building where the meetings were at. I remember getting the chrono signed. But I quite honestly, I don't remember one thing that was said. Right? Because I had no desire to get sober. I loved partying. I loved being bad. I liked getting in trouble. I liked avoiding trouble. I loved the art of staying out of trouble, right? I loved the, you know, the behind the scenes of the people behaving badly. Who's in trouble? Who's been in trouble? Who's telling on who? I loved that whole scene. For some reason, as sick as it is, getting sober was not on the top of my list of things to do. And even during the time I was in the jail, you know, and going to all those meetings, I was like, this is it. I'm done. I'm getting sober, right? And I, you know, and it's a great reminder, you know, if you stay within this program and associate with people in the program, you're more likely to stay sober. At the time, I felt like sobriety was going to be in my future. I was hanging out with people that were going to these meetings. We would talk. Yeah, I'm done with doing this shit, man. I'm ready to get cleaned up, right? And they would be the same way. But once we went back out on the streets, I shared before, I was on the street and I was getting high that day, right? I had no, I had talked a little talk, but my walk was not good. And, but it, you just never know, right? And so, you know, going through all of that, even in the lowest point of my drinking, you know, I'd sort of brainwashed myself into, I don't know if it's brainwashing or just giving up, right? But I just sort of gave up to the idea that this was my life, right? I just drink a lot. I'm just that guy, right? There's a restaurant next to my salon. There's a guy that goes in there. He's an alcoholic. Yeah, I guess him and his brother are both alcoholics. I see him. I can see a fucking alcoholic a mile away, right? But he's going down there 11:30, getting that big beer and sitting outside because he's, you know, they won't let him sit inside, and he drinks the cigarettes. And at 11:30, he's drinking beer. And I know he is an alcoholic because he's trying to get right. And I just think about all that pain, right? And that's sort of what I had given up. That's what I was going to be. That's going to be my story. And, you know, somebody upstairs, for some reason, somehow, it got changed, right, in that day. And I had that option, and I did it. But, man, when I finally did make the choice and I finally did step through the doorway, right, I had to team up with a bunch of guys. And, you know, we're all still sober. You know, Rick's still sober. Tim's still sober. I can't remember who else. Some people have moved away. But for the most part, we're all still sober. And, you know, I didn't stay sober right from that very beginning. I had to drink after, you know, a few years and then come back and bounce around and try to figure it out. But, you know, I kept at it, right? And so I take this freaking program very, very seriously, right? And I get frustrated when people, you know, are bothered by it, right? Not bothered by my seriousness, but bothered that they have to do this, right? And I get it, right? I do believe it's important that we sort of live through that, but we don't want to lose you, right? We don't want to see the discouragement, right? We don't want to see your inability to change your perspective, right? Because until you do, and as long as you have to go to these meetings and, you know, if it wasn't for these meetings, I could do this, right? When someone says that, oh, I fucking hit the ceiling, right? It's like, if I didn't have to go to these meetings, I could work harder, right? You know, it's like, if you didn't have these meetings, you'd have no fucking job at all, right? You'd have nothing, right? Because I could tell you, before I got sober, my job, I worked at a gas station, the night shift, and it was a shit job. And I finally did get on the golf course, but that was a tough job too. But that's what those jobs are, unfortunately. You know, I remember when I finally went to Rutgers and became white collar, right? And then I'm managing, you know, 8, 9, 10 people like me, or like how I used to be. And man, that was rough. That was rough. And so I guess the point is, and I got emotional for some reason that on Wednesday. I was sharing and I was getting fucking fired up, right? And I'm like, you know, inside I'm like, oh, really what we should be doing is thanking Don, right, for being here. Because Don, with almost 40 years of sobriety, goes to a lot of meetings, right? And, you know, I think, I don't know if I said this the other day or I said it in a podcast I didn't finish, but, you know, my son said, I'm glad you still go to those. And I go, I have a responsibility now, right? My job is to be there for the next alcoholic. And as much as I recognize I need to go to meetings, but if it wasn't for people like Don being there when I initially came in, I don't know where I would be, right? And if it wasn't for those guys that said, yeah, let's have a men's group, right? I don't know where I'd be, right? If this didn't feel better than what I was doing when I came into this program, I probably wouldn't be here. I probably would not be here. But to have camaraderie with other guys and all doing the same thing, right? Because one of the cool things about, you know, I may have some time, but I am no better than the next guy, right? In fact, I'm almost worse, right? Because now I've seen the light, right? And now that you know, when that fucking disease is over there in the corner doing push-ups, it shows up in different ways. It doesn't go, hey, why don't we get a beer? Hey, why don't we drink some vodka, right? It comes to me and says, I can't believe these fucking guys in here can't seem to figure out the program. Let's not go to this meeting anymore, right? It comes to me in, like, the weird things and cynicism, right, and this, you know, judgment. And it just wants me to not walk through the door. Anytime a voice, an idea, a thought comes through my mind that isn't saying, let's go to a meeting, I feel like it's an attack, right? I'm under attack, and I don't want to be under attack. And I've been feeling that way, right? I've been feeling separate. I've been holding in anger. I haven't been discussing things. It's the disease of my alcoholism. It's all the disease, and it shows up in weird ways. But in the end, I start separating myself, right? I'm like, you know, I talked about it. Why would I talk to my sponsor? He only has a year more than me. What does he know, right? Don't need to talk to him. That's the disease, right? I can't believe this guy's saying these things. He shouldn't be saying that stuff. I'm not going back. The disease, right? It's always the disease. But it doesn't come to me and tells me, let's get a beer, right? It doesn't say, hey, fuck this shit. Let's go get vodka. Doesn't do that. It's evolving. My disease is evolving and getting sneakier and sneakier. You know, when I was in Easton, I had no idea about this, you know, this sort of this disease voice that talked to me, right? I just thought it was a good idea, right? I'm like, it's like, look how good you've done. You should try drinking again. I'm like, yeah, that is a really a good idea. And it was very sneaky. Right. And so today I got my guard up, right? I'm constantly talking. I talked to my sponsor about this the other day. I told him, and I saw him on Wednesday. I'm like, did you get my text? He goes, what? And I go, I was just telling you, thank you for talking to me. I mean, it helped, right? It helped me. And I don't know. I'm getting better, I hope. One thing about I've learned about one thing I've learned about this program is that one day I feel like one day I can feel like I have it all figured out, and the next day I can feel like I absolutely don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And then when that starts to happen, when I start to get into that dark place, I come out of it, but it takes some time, right? I can be on the top of the mountain, right? And I can drop to the pit just like that, but to climb back out seems to take me some time. And it's not like I'm out just as fast as I went in. No. When I got to come out, it takes time. I got to climb, and it's almost like I have to refresh my memory, and I have to, like, get into some recovery work, talk to a newcomer, talk to my sponsee, right? And I share with my sponsee, right? Listen, I'm going through struggles too. Just because I'm your sponsor doesn't mean that I don't have trouble or problems. And I have to admit that too, right? We are no better than each other, right? And, yeah, it's crazy. All right, I'm going to try to read the Daily Reflections. I don't even know if I'm going to, how much time I got. I am, I don't know, we'll see. I wanted to do this podcast the other day and I couldn't do it. So I just want to try to push through this and, excuse me. And, yeah, we'll move on. Daily Reflections. Let's see if this may help. Usually does. Except. All right, yep. I can tell in the title, this is going to help. Turning It Over, March 8th. Every man and woman who has joined AA and intends to stick has, without realizing it, made a beginning on step 3. Hmm. Yes. You know, I was at a meeting on Monday, and a guy talked about that. We were talking about the fifth step. Yeah, the fifth step. But he talked about how, you know, he'd been doing these things and he'd always, you know, tended to make a lot of bad choices. And he decided he made a great choice because he just didn't want the same shit to happen over again. And you know, when I shared and I didn't want to crosstalk, but I'm like, by the way, that's a third step right there, right? You made a choice, right, to do the right thing when in turn it produces the right actions, which benefits your life, right? It makes your life better. It's better. I said, that is a relationship, that's building a relationship with God. You know, that's a humble decision. You know, I've said that, I'm not saying that I'm nothing. I don't know shit. I'm just saying I had this experience the other day about this, is that, you know, I feel like a lot of people are having more relationships with the higher power or God, and they don't even realize it, right? I never would have thought early on that if I just made the right choice, right, let's go to the meeting, that's a relationship with God. I just thought that that's just me making a good decision, but it was humility. Every time I decide to go to a meeting, there's always the option of not, right? And the humble choice is to go. So anyway, sorry, geez, water. All right, here we go. All right, so that's the beginning of step 3. Isn't it true that in all matters touching upon alcohol, each of them has decided to turn his or her life over to the care, protection, and guidance of Alcoholics Anonymous? Any willing newcomer feels sure AA is the only safe harbor for the foundering vessel he has become. Now, if this is not turning one's will and life over to a newfound providence, then what is? Then what is it? Yeah. That's step 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 35. Submission to God was the first step to my recovery. I believe our fellowship seeks a spirituality open to a new kinship with God. As I exert myself to follow the paths of the steps, I sense a freedom that gives me the ability to think for myself. My addiction confined me without any release and hindered my ability to be released from my confinement. But AA assures me of a way to go forward. Mutually sharing, concern of caring for others is our natural gift to each other and mind is strengthened as my attitude towards God changes. I learn to submit to God's will in my life, to have self-respect, and to keep both of these attitudes by giving away what I receive. Yeah. Yeah, that is, you know, yeah. It says, as I exert myself to follow the path of the steps, I sense a freedom that gives me the ability to think for myself, right? Yeah, so when I read that, what I immediately think of is just fear again, right? It's always about freaking fear with me, I know. But, you know, I think about how my life was so consumed in fear. And when I started to adjust my perspective on God, right, when I changed my perspective on how I started to feel, because I had to, you know, the relationship I've always thought of God, or having a relationship with God, or what other people had a relationship with God, and what if I imagined what that relationship was a relationship of, dear God, I need this, and then God would give it. And when I tried to reenact that relationship in my life, it didn't happen, right? I couldn't even get him to answer. You there, God? Crickets, right? Something like, shit, he didn't even answer. He is pissed. It's funny when I think about it. But when that relationship didn't come to fruition, right, I just gave up. I gave up. I'm like, that, all I know is he doesn't answer me, and if I do bad things, I'm going to hell. So I just didn't have a real relationship. I didn't have the freedom. And what I've learned today is I had to give up on that idea, forget that one, throw that away. And just start feeling that, you know, one of the things that I find most fascinating for me, is this ability to just self-examine, right? What do I feel? Why do I feel it? What's it about? What's behind it, right? What is happiness, right? How much fear is in my life? Who's afraid? Self. Right? And as I've worked these steps, I realize these steps start to remove self-centered fear. Right. If we came in, we admit, finally, I'm going to admit it. I'm an alcoholic and my life is unmanageable. Right. And then we came to believe. Listen, just the idea. Right. Turned our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. Right. Moral inventory. We need a moral inventory just so that we can see how bad we've done. Right. I needed to list these things, all these things that I was doing and why I was doing them, just so I could identify. If you asked me when I came in here the first time, I'd be like, I don't have any problems. I just drink too much. I get caught too much. Right? I literally had no problems, right? Use the fourth and the fifth step really to identify these real character problems, right? And then we start removing them, right? How else can we get better if we don't expose it all, call it for what it is, and then start learning how to remove it? But when you get rid of all of your baggage, right? And you start removing these character defects, our behaviors, you know, all of that shit is what created fear in my life. You know, my desire to do drugs and run the streets, you know, those are all character defects, right? When I lived like that, I was constantly afraid of getting in trouble, not getting what I wanted. Am I ever going to get this again? You know, it was always this all fear. And when I started to remove these character defects through these steps, the fear went with it, right? And then in the 10th step, you know, then we identify all the people we had harmed, right? And then we make amends when we can, right? Finally, we get to clean this shit up. So we finally clean it up. And then the 10th step, we get the ability to continue to take personal inventory, right? And what am I doing? And when we were wrong, we clean it up right away, right? We don't have to carry it around. We don't have to live in more fear. We have this out, like, man, I didn't, you know, I have a client come in, I'll get annoyed. I can say, you know, at the end, hey, I was a little frustrated. I apologize, right? I do that all the time, right? I get wound up, I get caught up in situations. I'll be a little short. And then afterward, I'll be like, you know what, I apologize. I'm just, you know, overwhelmed right now. And they're like, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. But, right? And then if I don't, right, then I go home, I go, I hope that lady's not mad at me. Fear, right? I'm back in the fear game. And so the 10 steps allows us to clean up any situation that comes up in that moment to remove more fear later on, right? And then we have that the meditation, and then having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. It's a job. It's awesome. And I'm grateful for it. Yeah, that's all I really got. I just want to get that out. Hope everyone has a great day. I am not going to meeting tonight. I'll be at a meeting tomorrow. Get to a meeting. If you're new, go every day. Talk to your sponsor. Start enjoying this, right? We get to, right? The odds aren't in our favor. We have got to put as much effort as we can because it's not easy. All right, later. Together. Thank you.